Welcome to Dakota Midday for this Thursday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Carl Gerke. And we're going to spend some time remembering the woman and the life of Ruth Julkowski. She died last night at the age of 87. Julkowski turned around and has managed a Crazy Horse Memorial and has drawn national attention to the memorial after her husband's death, Korzak Julkowski. So joining me on the phone now, we have Jack Marsh. He's the former president and CEO of the Freedom Forum at the University of South Dakota. Jack, thanks for taking time and being with us today.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
And Tim Gallego, founder of the Native Son News and the Native American Journalists Association, also joins us on the phone today. Tim, thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
So I guess let's just start. And Jack, when I talked to you earlier this morning, you said this is a woman who touched millions of people. So I'd like to start there and find out how she has touched so many people and how she has touched you.
Well, I've known Ruth Julkowski for more than 20 years. When I came to South Dakota, I was editor of the Argus Leader. And then for the last 12 years, I've served on the board of directors of the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation. Ruth Julkowski, you can apply a lot of superlatives to people, and that's an exaggeration. The superlatives when it comes to Ruth Julkowski, that's the truth. It's Ruth was an extraordinary woman and a great teacher in so many ways, and she taught by example. The example of perseverance, of setting lofty goals, living your dreams. But once you commit to a goal or commit to a dream, you never let it go. And so she dedicated her life for the last 65 years of her life to the Crazy Horse Memorial and its lofty principles. And really at the core of the Crazy Horse Memorial is the principle of reconciliation between the Native and non-Native people of this country. And that's done through the carving of a memorial to the great Lakota leader, Crazy Horse, honoring not only Crazy Horse, but honoring all Native people. It is the creation of the Indian University of North America and a large scholarship program benefiting Native American students. And then a museum that celebrates and looks back at the wonderful history of the indigenous people of this country. But Ruth was loved and admired by millions and millions of people across this country. Crazy Horse Memorial has more than a million visitors a year, and I dare say that most of them, when they visit Crazy Horse, they gain a real appreciation for the leadership, the vision, and the commitment that was shown by Ruth Julkowski as the leader of that project. When Korczak passed away in the late 80s, the burden fell to Ruth to carry on, and she did that with her commitment, also the commitment of her children, and with the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation Board of Directors. And she never let it go. You know, she was active until the very, very end. And now we're very fortunate that so many others have also caught the dream, and it will continue. And the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation will continue to thrive. And I hope and trust that we're going to see great progress in this country toward the elimination of prejudice and racism toward Native people in this country, a better understanding between the Native and non-Native people of this country. And we're doing that through education. We're doing that through a very, very visible and colossal monument that honors the Native people of this country.
And Tim?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, and your memories, and talk about how you first met her. You were quoted earlier in one of our stories that she won you over.
Well, I met Ruth 40 years ago, as a matter of fact. Excuse me. I was doing a weekly television show for KEVN, in Rapid City called First Americans. And Korshak Zykowski was watching it. And one day he sent me a big azalea plant just before Christmas and asked me to come up and meet the family. So I went up, like I say, it was 40 years ago. And at first, I think, like a lot of Native Americans, I was kind of skeptical of what was going on, you know, because we've seen a lot of things come and go over the last 100 years. And I was critical about one point in that they weren't doing enough to really talk about Crazy Horse himself. It was more on the sculpture, and I pointed that out to Ruth, and she was very gracious about it. And they made some adjustments. And we just sort of became friends after that, and we've stayed in communication. There's one thing about Ruth is she was very generous with her time. She was a very humble person. If you went up to visit, she always took the time to come out and talk to you and shake your hand. And if there was something important going on, she would take you around and show you. I mean, she just took the time to be with the people that came up to see the carving on the mountain. And I went up to see her again probably about 5 or 6 months ago to visit the college they're building up there. And again, she just took the time to come out and be generous with her time and shook hands and visit it. And she was just a wonderful woman, and it took me a while to get to realize that, but I watched what was going on over the years. I saw the dedication that she had, that Korshak had, that all of the children had, and it made a profound impression on me. And so that's how I'll always remember Ruth.
I want to play a piece of tape from an interview that we had with Ruth, and in this she talks about some of her favorite memories over the years at Crazy Horse. This was recorded in 2008 on the 60th anniversary of the memorial.
Oh, I think our wedding day on Thanksgiving in 1950, the first blast on the mountain in 1948 on the 3rd of June, some of the times that Governor Mickelson was with us, the very first Native American Day was wonderful. Of course, when you have 10 youngsters, you think about their birthdays. And I think building the Orientation Center was one of the big things. It's the only time we've ever had a contractor and an architect. And everything else you see, we've done on our own.
And that is the voice of Ruth Jolkowski.
Go ahead. Can I add something to that?
Yeah.
It was back in 1990 that I wrote an editorial, and I challenged the governor to declare 1990 a year of reconciliation.
Yep.
And also to try to change the holiday that is called Columbus Day to Native American Day. And Governor Mickelson not only took on the challenge, he pushed it and got it through the legislators in 1990. So we had a year of reconciliation, and we also had the very first Native American Day. And Governor Mickelson and I were at Crazy Horse to make that announcement. And it was just a great day for Crazy Horse and for the Native Americans of South Dakota.
And then it turned into the decade of reconciliation. Yep, go ahead, Jack.
I want to say amen to that, Tim. You planted that seed, and Governor Mickelson took up that cause with you. And since then, every year, the state's celebration of Native American Day really centers at Crazy Horse, where we can we can bring together the Native and non-Native people of our state and beyond to really have a much better understanding of one another and break down those barriers and knock down those stereotypes and have appreciation for, particularly for the Native people. Another thing I want to say about Ruth Jolkowski, Ruth, think about what Ruth taught us about honoring a promise, honoring a commitment. Korshak Jolkowski and Henry Standing Bear agreed to undertake this colossal mountain carving, and they began it in 1947. That's when Korshak moved out Ruth Chilkowski, then a young volunteer, 20 years old, moved out to the Crazy Horse as a volunteer. And that's when it all began. And so Korchak and now, you know, millions of others took up this effort at the invitation of Henry Standing Bear and other elders. And I just think it's just extraordinary that someone would take on this task knowing that it's a vision that goes well beyond their lifetime, the lifetime of their children, and perhaps their grandchildren. And Ruth clearly, took up that as her dream as well, and she never let it go. And so this was a way of life for Ruth and for her family, for 65 years, remaining focused and continuing the progress. Made a promise, made a commitment, stick with it. That's why I think Ruth Chilkowski is one of the great teachers of our history. And she did it by example.
And, you know, it isn't just for the creation of the monument. I mean, she carried that make a promise, keep a promise in every aspect of life. I mean, I remember going up for the 50th anniversary blast, and she was so busy with national news attention, she really didn't have for a lot of time for a young cub reporter like I was back then. But she said, "You find me, and I will make the time to talk with you." And she kept that promise.
A gracious and humble woman, but who achieved greatness, and who inspires us all to dream big. I heard her say it so many times to groups. Never forget your dreams. Never forget your dreams, and never let anybody talk you out of your dreams. And Ruth lived that. Her family lives it. The Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation lives it, and millions of people who support the cause and support the goals of the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation are going to ensure that this is going to continue.
Now, go ahead, Tim.
Many years ago, I served on the advisory board for the Freedom Forum when it was first started under Ellen Newharth, and Elle was a very good friend of Ruth. And we're close
Al Newhart actually was, Tim, I don't know if you know this is a great, great story that ties back to Ruth and to Crazy Horse. Al Newhart in 1948, in June of 1948, was an intern reporter at the Rapid City Journal. And the editor got word that Korchak was going to have the first blast at Crazy Horse. And I don't think that the editors and reporters at the Rapid City Journal, they didn't take it seriously. So they said, let's send the intern out to cover this blast. So Al Newhart, as an intern, on June 3rd, 1948, covered that first blast. And that began an incredible friendship between the Chilkowski family and Al Newhart that continued until Al's death just a year ago.
Well, she worked with Elle and with Jack Marsh, as a matter of fact, and started the journalism seminar they had every April up there for Native American students that mm-hmm. wanted to pursue a career in journalism, or at least to learn a little bit about journalism. And that was ongoing for many years until Elle's death.
And we did that for 12 or 13 years. We held the Crazy Horse Journalism Workshop, and so many Native journalists from around the country supported us with that by generously coming out and mentoring young Native students who were interested in journalism. First, we began at both the high school and the college level, and then we ended up concentrating on high school juniors and seniors who were contemplating their career paths. And from that, Korchak and Ruth always had in mind that there would be a university and medical training center at Crazy Horse. And they didn't know when they'd be able to start that, but that actually is now underway. And this summer, we will have the fifth class at the Indian University of North America, 32 students from around the country representing multiple tribes who are coming to Crazy Horse to take a full semester of college coursework at Crazy Horse, and then they'll be able to transfer those credits to their colleges and universities when they begin their freshman year in the fall. So the dream and the goal that was set out so early by Korchuk and Ruth of having not only a mountain carving, a memorial to the native people, and a museum, but also having an Indian university. You know, all three of those priorities are now being addressed, and I have no doubt, but all three of those are going to continue to flourish, and we're gonna go from even take it to a much higher level than it is now.
And you mentioned the first blast in 1948, and Ruth described it as a puff. Nothing but a puff. And she has also spent some time talking about how things have changed. And I know that they really wanted to honor the original plan of Crazy Horse. But here we have a piece of tape where she spoke about the effort to move the focus of the carving from the horse's head to the face after the death of her husband in 1982.
Getting the face finished proved to people that we could do it. And you can't actually blame the public for saying, oh, they're never going to get it done. They said that when Korchuk was alive. Why should they not say it when he's gone and it's left to me and 7 of 10 kids? I mean, that it just, we had to prove ourselves. And that's why instead of doing the horse's head, which Korchuk would have done, we chose to do Crazy Horse's face, because that's only 90 feet from chin to hairline, and the horse's head is 219 feet. And as long as it's taking us to do the horse's head, we'd never have shown people we could do it.
Was that her goal? No, go. Let's start with Tim, and then we'll go to Jack.
You know, of course, there was never, ever a photograph of Crazy Horse. So Korchuk had to do what he called sort of a generic carving for the face. So that was sort of a contention among some Native Americans over the years about whether Crazy Horse would want his image on a mountain, since he never ever allowed his photograph to be taken. But I think after the years passed and a lot of the Native Americans saw all of the good that it was doing for all the Native Americans, I think a lot of attitudes changed.
I think you're right, Tim. And I know that it was a very difficult decision for Ruth after Korchuk's death in 1982 to shift the focus from the horse's head to completion of the face. And it turned out to be a very wise decision, but it actually went against what Korchuk had planned. And now, at the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation, we are shifting the focus to the outstretched arm and hand, as well as the horse's head, because the face has been completed. And that's we're in the process now of coming within a few feet of the finished grade on the horse's head, extending from from the very top of the monument down, actually 360 feet now, to the bottom, what we call the bottom bench. And so once that blocking is complete and we're very close to that, then we'll begin the finish work at the hand and move down through the horse's head.
You know, there was a kind of a joke among Native Americans, particularly Lakota, for many years, that traditionally we never pointed with our finger. We pointed with our bottom lip. And so the joke was, did you hear that an explosion blew the arm off a Crazy Horse? So they had to work on his lip and make it point.
I would like to keep this conversation going, but we need to take a quick break. If the two of you could hang on for about a minute, and we'll come back and talk more about Ruth Jolkowski. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, sitting in today for Carl Gerke. And we're spending some time remembering Ruth Jolkowski. Jack Marsh, the former president and CEO of Freedom Forum at the University of South Dakota, and Tim Gallego, founder of the Native Sun News and the Native American Journalists Association, joining me on the phone right now to talk about their memories and their friendship. So let's move on and talk a little bit about the scholarship, because I know over $1 million, $1.5 million perhaps now, has been given out to Native American students to go to college in South Dakota.
It always was the goal of Korchok and Ruth to have this Indian University, which we now have started. But they began with a scholarship program, and they began with a small scholarship program and then have built it over the years. So to date, the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation has awarded more than $2
million
in scholarships to Native American students attending colleges and universities in South Dakota. And that's in addition to now the creation of this Indian University, which has a summer program, which serves 52 students from around the country. And the dream now and the goal now, and I have no doubt we're gonna reach this, is to develop a year-round college and university program and then actually gain degree-granting status to the Indian University of North America. Now it is a partnership between USD, the University of South Dakota, and Crazy Horse, because USD provides the faculty, writes the curriculum, handles the academic aspects of the university under a partnership. But eventually, we want to go to a year-round program that will be able to serve even more Native students and have degree-granting status as a freestanding university. So, you know, Korchok and Ruth always started small. You have a goal, get going, take that first step, and you build on that. And so many people have embraced the goals and principles of the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation and of the Joukowsky family that, you know, these goals are, you know, the project is absolutely flourishing, and the level of support is building constantly. So that we're going to be able to just talk about the university and the scholarship program. We're going to be able to serve so many more Native college students in South Dakota and around the United States.
Well,
because of support.
Over the years, our newspaper has published the names of a lot of the students who are awarded scholarships through Crazy Horse Foundation. In fact, one of the great supporters of Ruth and the foundation is Billy Mills, the Lakota,
that's right,
who won the gold medal at the 1964 Olympics in Tokyo. And he visits up there. He used to visit quite often. And
he does.
He's always a
Billy
good
Mills
friend
has
to
Ruth. Billy Mills has been a great friend to Ruth and the Joukowsky family, as well as to the foundation, like Crazy Horse.
Who would you say the monument is for?
Who is the monument for?
Uh-huh.
The monument really is to honor honor American Indians of all tribes, and we do it by depicting symbolically representation of Crazy Horse. Tim is right. There was never we're unaware of any photograph ever being taken of Crazy Horse. So it is somewhat of a it is a representation, but not in the literal sense. So this goes beyond any single tribe. This is really honoring the indigenous people of this great land.
You know, Ruth and Korchok really wanted to involve Native Americans in the project. So over all of these years, I don't know how many people know this, but they never charged for any Native American to visit the memorial.
That's correct.
And there's a lot of, there's a lot of financial support that is sent in and donations made all of the time from all over the world. Is that true?
The only support that keeps Crazy Horse going is the proceeds from admissions and donations. Crazy Horse is not a state or a federal project, and as a matter of policy, we will not accept any government funds. So it is entirely based on public support through through voluntary contributions and through admissions. And we now have about, I think it's 1.2 million visitors a year who come to Crazy Horse. And of course, our busiest season is during the summer and then the shoulder seasons.
And we have about 2 minutes left, and I'm just wondering where you both see this going next. What will it be finished?
Oh, I have no doubt it will be finished, and Ruth had no doubt about it. And it's because I think Ruth's commitment and Korchak's commitment became contagious. And none of us are going to let will dishonor them by abandoning these goals. And so many people are now inspired to join this effort. We're going to see it completed. It may not be in my lifetime or Tim's lifetime or yours, Kara, but the progress is continuing, and the good work, the great work going on at Crazy Horse is going to, it's going to expand and thrive.
You know, I think when one of the real strong people that was so powerful in pushing this project was Ruth's daughter, Anne. And she passed away, but they have Casimir, the son, and he knows the project. He knows what has to be done, and he's still young, so I think he will pursue doing the actual carving and complete the project like I
thought. Well, we're also very fortunate to have other children in the or not there. There's the sons and daughters of Korchak and Ruth, and no longer children, of course, but Monique Jolkowski, Jadwiga Jolkowski have been just very, very involved and will continue to be involved at the highest level. No one can replace Ruth. No one can replace Ruth. But together, the executive team at Crazy Horse, the Crazy Horse Memorial Foundation Board, and the public, we can join together and we can make sure that this is completed and that the promises that were made are honored and the goals are achieved.
All right. I want to thank you both for taking time and spending it with us today on Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Jack Marsh, the former president and CEO of the Freedom Forum at the University of South Dakota, and Tim Gallego, a founder of Native Sun News and the Native American Journalists Association. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.